Welcome to the This Is The Way podcast. Today, I'm not talking about The Mandalorian. I'm talking about my feelings about The Rise of Skywalker. It's the last of the Skywalker series of movies that dated way back to 1977, which just happens to be the year I was born. And there have been 9 total films. 3 original trilogy, 3 prequel trilogy, and then these 3 sequel trilogy ones, The Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker. You could count some other movies in there like Rogue One and Solo, but for the most part, the saga, the ones that are specifically related to the Skywalkers, really have only been those 9 films. And, to say that I was always hoping to find out the end of everything would be accurate. I always wondered what happened after the Death Star, the second Death Star blew up. I always wondered what Luke did after, you know, defeating the Sith. Well, it turns out, according to some people, that he didn't. I was excited after The Force Awakens came out a few years ago because there was a lot of mystery. And that's kind of usually the way things go. It's really easy to set up a mystery. It's a lot harder to tell in a coherent way the way that that all wraps up. Not just coherently, but also in a way that entertains and satisfies the fans of not just the original trilogy, but of the, you know, Star Wars universe of books and novels and video games and everything. There was a lot of fans that came in at a lot of different times. I came in probably, I think the Empire Strikes Back was probably one of the first ones that I saw. The first movie that I saw in the theaters, was definitely Return of the Jedi. I was too young, I think, to see Empire Strikes Back. I may have seen the original New Hope. I don't remember if we had a VCR back then or not. I think my parents probably let us watch A New Hope on tape before Return of the Jedi. I'm pretty sure we did. I definitely remember going to see Return of the Jedi in the theaters. It was a big night for our family. I think I've loved that one the most just because of the atmosphere surrounding it. And I remember the crowd that was at the theater, even a small theater in Newport Richey. There was a huge crowd of people, and it was an event. It may not have even been the first weekend that it was open. It probably wasn't. But it was a huge movie, and there was a lot of celebration surrounding it. And for weeks and months and years after that, I was just the biggest fan. We had the toys. I remember playing with the toys before because I remember us getting a mail-in. We mailed in something to get the Emperor Palpatine. You had to mail in a certain amount of box tops or something, or box UPC codes or something like that from other characters in order to get Palpatine. And I think our family got 3 of them. That's how many we sent away for. I don't know how my dad made that happen, but we got 3 of Palpatine. And I still have one. I know it's still in the box of Star Wars toys. So I was a huge fan of all things Star Wars. Things really started to go south for me. Well, it didn't really. It went south after I saw The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi is the worst Star Wars movie by far. It's not even a Star Wars movie, really. It's a movie that kind of has the trappings of Star Wars. Rian Johnson just did a terrible job. Whoever is in charge at Disney of that movie for letting that be released just made a huge, huge mistake. Not just for the story, but for the treatment of the characters, Leia in space, that was just horrendous. And the story is terrible too. It really was a poor, poor way to set up our characters for the final act. So when Rise of Skywalker was announced, and that J.J. Abrams was going to take back over, there was just a faint sliver of hope for me that it would recover. I was spoiled for a great deal of the movie. Not the entire movie, but a great deal of the movie. I wanted to find out if I was going to go into this movie and walk out afterwards feeling like I hated Star Wars. And when I saw the spoilers, I didn't feel that way. I felt like there was a way that this could have been told where I was okay with it. And that's ultimately where I come down on this movie. I am okay with it. It's not great. It's also not bad. It's kind of a fun action movie that has Star Wars in it. There are some things about it that I just think are poor choices. The force healing stuff brings in far too many questions and doesn't answer credibly the ones that it's supposed to answer in the movie. And that's usually, like, I'm not the best, I think I'm a pretty good storyteller, but if you introduce something new, it's supposed to really answer a question or solve a problem, right? And force healing doesn't do that. It creates more problems for your lore than it does answer the problems that you're supposed to be solving. It's brought in there because they wanted a way for Rey to fail at the end, but ultimately be okay. Like, she has to die, but then come back to life. How do you do that? I don't think you have to have her die. I just don't. I don't think Ben Solo had to be redeemed, but he was, and that was the choice. I think there was a better way to do it. I don't think the force grabbing thing that they introduced in basically the episode 8, The Last Jedi, the whole touching hands thing, the bridging gaps, I think that creates too many problems. It makes you wonder why it hadn't been done earlier, or we hadn't seen it earlier. And then the thing that really bothers me about those things is Disney has all of these other avenues to explain. They could go back with the Clone Wars and have shown forbidden teachings that Anakin was learning about this, where you go, okay, this exists in the universe, but there's a reason why the Jedi don't do it. There's none of that. There are so many books that they've written since Disney took over. None of that explains how the Jedi could pass things from one place in time to another just by the Force. It doesn't make sense. It's like a transporter. If you could transport a lightsaber, you could transport a person. So why not do that? And the whole world between worlds doesn't work the way that they're showing you it, so quote-unquote, works here in the show. The world between worlds was introduced in Rebels, and Ezra Bridger physically goes through a doorway and goes through it and exists in this place, and then reaches through a portal and grabs Ahsoka Tano and brings her into this other world, and then they go to another place. But time is not altered. It's not like they instantly go to the other place. There is no sense of time and space. But also, the doors are not like right next to each other. You can't just reach behind your head and pull a lightsaber from behind your head in the world between worlds. If they had shown that in Rebels, the ability to do this, or even mentioned or talked about it, or had Yoda say something. I don't know. There's a way to do something if you want to use that as the explanation for why Rey can hand Kylo Ren a lightsaber, then you have to set it up. And it just felt like The Rise of Skywalker was a movie full of things that weren't set up, that were just placed in place to course correct and fix what Rian Johnson did. The whole line about the Holdo maneuver, we can't do it. Like, they're already calling it the Holdo maneuver, which is something that out of universe, people watching the movie would call that thing in The Last Jedi, where Holdo pilots the ship in light speed through the dreadnought. Well, they call it the Holdo maneuver in the Rise of Skywalker. Okay, there's so many little nods and things that were obvious. Like, okay, folks, we get it. It was terrible. To say otherwise, and it's fine if you liked Last Jedi. I'm not telling you that you can't like Last Jedi. I'm just telling you that, in my opinion, you're wrong for thinking it's a good movie. It doesn't mean that your opinion about the movie is invalid. It just means I think it is. And I'm allowed to think that. You're allowed to think I'm wrong. And I think I have evidence to support otherwise. And I'm sure you do too. But you can't explain why you like something or why you don't. I can't explain completely why I like The Return of the Jedi and New Hope and Empire Strikes Back. I can't explain to you. All I can say is that my experiences lend me to forgive any plot holes and points of the movies that others might have problems with. If I was an adult, maybe I wouldn't have liked Star Wars as much as I do now, because I wasn't in a place where those things bothered me, okay? Because I was a kid, so I just accepted everything that the old original trilogy presented to me. Now, I feel a lot differently. I feel like I do feel like I was owed something for the years I invested and the money that I invested into Star Wars. Of course, they don't owe me personally. I feel like my fandom was owed more. I feel like they should have done more to not pay off, but there's a fine line between telling the story that you think you want to tell and telling the story that legitimately the characters would have been through. Like, I think there's an agenda with Disney, right down to the female and females kissing. There's an agenda that Disney has, and they're not even hiding it. It's an agenda, which they're allowed to have. They're a company. But it's not what Star Wars was about. Star Wars, you know, if that was the direction that Star Wars wanted to take 30, 40 years ago, I'm not so sure it would have been a big hit. I'm not saying it wouldn't. I'm just saying I think people liked it for a different reason. I didn't watch it for the politics of it. Not to say there's not politics in Star Wars, but I didn't watch it because there was left versus right or conservative versus liberal. I watched it because it was good versus evil. And the current climate of movie making is to show that the bad side isn't so bad in everything. And I think that's a tactic of evil people. I think they have evil intentions to show that there is not that maybe it's not, maybe the bad people aren't bad. Maybe you just misunderstand them. Now, I'm not saying that you can't misunderstand people in that, but there's a right and a wrong, and to start muddying the waters the way that Hollywood is really I mean, it's on purpose. They're doing that. They want you to believe what they believe, and I think they brought Star Wars into that, and that's what disappoints me most. Is that I cannot watch episodes 8 and 9 and not see it front and center. I wonder if I went back and watched 7 again. Thinking about this now, I'm not saying I haven't seen it. I've seen it recently, but I wonder if I went back now with a different lens and said, okay, now let me see if they're pushing it down my throat here. I wonder if I would see that, because I didn't have a problem with Rey being a girl, or, you know, her being so powerful. I didn't have a problem. I watched 7 and I was excited. I bought into the new direction, and I think it was only during 8 that things really, it felt like you were watching the movie and watching a lesson that you were supposed to be learning, and like, how terrible are these quote unquote people over here? But then in the same breath, it's like, well, you're just misunderstanding them, or Kylo Ren is just misunderstood, or he's so close to the truth, but yeah, there's just a disconnect, and I see that disconnect in 8 and 9. Again, if you like the movie, I feel like I'm going to be saying that a lot, but if you like the movie, that's okay. But I think 8 was terrible. It was a terrible Star Wars movie. If it didn't have the Star Wars name on it, if it was about some other intellectual property, I can't name one for you, but if it was about something else, I think it would be an okay movie. It still would have huge problems with the storytelling, but it does not fit. The humor and the storytelling beats do not fit. If you watch even The Rise of Skywalker, if you watch the other 8 movies, The Last Jedi does not fit in that, in with those other movies. It's terribly written, and it's terribly acted, and it's terribly directed. It just is. It doesn't fit. It does not fit. And it should be stricken from the canon, but it won't be. It's there to stay. I'm just saying, in a perfect world, it wouldn't exist. I'm even okay with, in The Rise of Skywalker, the way they end up handling Luke, and I'm okay with all of the Leia giving up the ghost kind of a thing. I'm okay with all that stuff. Like I said, I'm okay with Rise of Skywalker. But I'm still... I think you can't watch Rise of Skywalker and not comment on the direction of the previous movies. And the only one that stands out as being off the rails is The Last Jedi. There's the fact that it came right before Rise of Skywalker, but also it's next in the trilogy, or in the sequel trilogy, it's next. But it's the one that stands out. You could make a better case for saying having a different crawl at the beginning of 9 and explain what happened between 7 and 9, and it would probably read better than it was presented as a movie. So The Rise of Skywalker, it starts out on a mission, which is fun, I guess. It also starts out with Kylo Ren on a mission. So it starts out with our heroes on a mission and Kylo Ren on a mission. And, you know, they put Chewie in danger. They put C-3PO in danger. And I've always said, I thought one of the problems with 8 was that they separated, 7 and 8. You can't really separate 3PO and R2-D2 and not have that be a plot point, because they've always kind of been our eyes. And in 9, not having R2 and C-3PO be the the proxies for us in that universe, I think was kind of a mistake. I really feel like 9 missed the boat on a bunch of things, but it was entertaining to watch. And I know some people say, well, I feel like 8 was entertaining to watch, but I don't agree. You know, I watched it and I went into 8 feeling really, I was willing to just accept about anything. And for most of the movie, I kept saying, it'll get better, it'll get better, it'll get better. I mean, my father was sitting right next to me, and we kept saying that, like, it'll be okay, they'll fix it. Up until the last moments of the movie where you go, they didn't fix it. They left it like this. They ruined it. In 9, I had I hope they fix this. I hope they fix it. So every moment where they insulted Rian Johnson's movie was a win for me. I was like, oh, okay. All right, they're fixing it. They're fixing it. They're fixing it. So I had a much different expectation and involvement in seeing Rise of Skywalker to a finale. I didn't like the way it ended. I did not like only seeing Luke and Leia in the Tatooine desert and her burying the lightsabers. I did not like that. But, I mean, I think mercifully it ends all of that for us. I don't think we, you know, I do think Disney may try to make an attempt at restarting the Skywalker trilogy or saga again using Rey. If Daisy Ridley will come back and John Boyega and all of them, I think they might try to do that 10 years down the line. It depends on what kind of career Daisy Ridley has. I mean, it really does. And John Boyega, I mean, it depends on what kind of a career they have, whether or not they're going to revisit it. Because Star Wars is not going away. They just, first of all, they're going to have to finish this High Republic. And now here's the thing that for those of you who don't know, this podcast is I wanted to record something about my thoughts about Rise of Skywalker after season 1 episode 7 of The Mandalorian, because that's when Rise of Skywalker aired chronologically, because it aired before the last episode of The Mandalorian. But I am recording this in February, at the end of February, the year after Rise of Skywalker comes out. So by now, Disney has indicated their direction for the future of Disney movies. They are not going Old Republic, they're going High Republic, which is only about 2,000 years. It would be like going to around from now to about the time of Christ. In our time period, it's about 2,000, I think, years before the imperial occupation of space, before the Republic falls, and before the New Republic, because that's only about 30 or 40 years later. And when you're talking about 2,000 years, 30 years isn't that long compared to 2,000. So they are committed to doing High Republic. The advantages of that is that there's going to be a lot more Jedi. The disadvantages is that we know that no matter what threat they face, we know that the Jedi succeed. So it's all about the storytelling. That could be a great thing or a bad thing. Where at this point, when I'm recording this, that remains to be seen. But before they move on with the Skywalker saga, and they've said it's ending, they would have to come to a place where they're like, you know what, we're done with the High Republic. It could end up being the most successful part of the Skywalker franchise. This is going to be Disney at its height of audacity. This is going to be where they put in all of their political agenda. It's going to be on full display. Disney's vision Disney's vision for the future is going to be front and center, and it just remains to be seen. Are they going to mess with Star Wars and use it as a metaphor for everything that's going on in our political climate? Or is there going to be a pushback, and is Disney going to have to back off? I don't know. But I really feel like J.J. Abrams did his best to wrap up the Skywalker story with as little controversy as possible, because he just gave us excitement, and the story beats that he put in that I have a problem with are those ones that are, I think, designed by him to, like, let's just get out of here. Like the Force healing and the Wayfinder stuff. There were ways for him to do it that didn't involve those things, but I think it would have required Rian Johnson to set it up. And perhaps that's what he thought was going to happen, and then that might be one of the reasons why Disney had to make a change, is because Rian did his own thing. And it sounds good when you, quote-unquote, let your visionaries do their own thing, right? It sounds like a great idea, but you don't do that with Star Wars. You don't do that with the saga films. They should have let Rian Johnson direct Solo or something else like that. If you want him to go and have fun in the sandbox, that's what you do. And now he's supposedly getting a trilogy of movies. I'll tell you right now, I will not watch anymore. I'm soured on Rian Johnson. I didn't watch Knives Out. I don't care what people say about it. That's how angry I am over what I feel happened to Star Wars. So no matter what he does in Star Wars, I'm never going to see it. I'm never going to see it. I hope that most other Star Wars fans feel like I do, but I'm not naive, and I know that there are other people, even some of my friends, and maybe even the other co-hosts of This Is the Way feel differently, and that's fine. But I don't want him to touch Star Wars anymore. I think he's ruined enough, and I question whether or not we are going to see good Star Wars anymore under the Disney banner. And it's going to stay under the Disney banner because of all that they're doing with the parks and merchandising and stuff like that. It's going to stay under Disney. They're in for the long haul. They spent enough money on it where they're in. They bought the IP with a specific purpose to milk it for as much as they can. And that's business, but it doesn't make for good storytelling. And there, I've seen enough YouTubers and bloggers and podcasts and stuff saying how Disney, they like the direction and they like this and they like that. But I think Disney is ruining Star Wars. And it's not overt, over the top. It's death by a thousand cuts. It's just like the left and the liberal agenda in the United States of America right now. It's death by a thousand cuts. I mean, that's how change happens. You don't make a huge change and because people will push back on that. So what do? You ask for a little, and then when they give you that foothold, you take a little more. When they give you that foothold, you take a little more. And if there's ever any pushback, you just complain and say how intolerant you are, or the other side is. I mean, that's the playbook. Rules for radicals. It's the way of the world. That's why things are different and society is different now than it was 100 years ago, which isn't always a bad thing. And that's the caveat to it. Maybe Star Wars does need to change, but the changes that Rian Johnson made were those overt and over the top changes that are just too much. Star Wars has always been about change. They've always introduced new force powers. They've introduced new tweaks to the lore. The whole, from a certain point of view, the fact that Luke and Leia weren't always going to be brother and sister. Those were changes to the story and they worked. They were small, or they were integral to the story. They weren't just throwaway things meant to meant to. I mean, you look at the interviews that Rian Johnson did in after Return of the Last Jedi, and you hear him say that he wanted to be different and wanted to shock people. That's not what you do with Star Wars. You don't shock people for the sake of shocking people. You tell a story, and I don't feel like. Look, Mark Hamill said it himself. He inhabited the character. Luke wouldn't have done those things. He just wouldn't have. He wouldn't have if he went away to meditate. He wouldn't have if his nephew had given to the dark side. He wouldn't have done any of those things. I don't say that based on my own personal feelings. I say that based on the existing knowledge that we have of Luke, that even Disney, through 7, because J.J. Abrams had an outline for what he wanted or what he had planned, and through the video game, through everything, Disney had a certain direction that they were going, and Rian Johnson purposefully went in a shocking and monumental course correction for Star Wars that didn't need to be made. All right. And so that's where I'm at with Star Wars, is that I was barely hanging on with the Death by a Thousand Cuts that they were making to the lore, you know, anytime you have to jump 30 years, it's a lot easier, I think, to go back in time, and people may disagree, but it's a lot easier to go back because you already know where you have to end up. Here, they clearly didn't know where they wanted to wrap up the Skywalker saga. They clearly didn't. They were kind of just winging it, which is, I think, a shared criticism of the entire saga, the sequel saga of films, for people who like The Last Jedi. I think they admit that is one of the problems, is that they didn't know where they wanted it to wrap up. And I think your job as a storyteller is to know the ending, know the beginning, and then your skill in telling how you get from one to the other is the mark of whether or not your creation is worthy of such admiration. And I don't feel the beginning and the ending of the sequel trilogy is worthy of the previous storytelling that they did, because look, I liked Phantom Menace enough to see it 17 times in the theaters. So 17 times $5 or so a piece, because I saw it, you know, it was years and years ago when it was a lot cheaper to go to the movies. I mean, I spent a lot of money on the Phantom Menace. I also, the other movie that I went to and saw a whole lot in the theaters was Revenge of the Sith. I loved that movie. I still love that movie. I'm not probably the average original trilogy fan. A lot of people even back then didn't like the prequel trilogy. I did. It wasn't that Attack of the Clones was bad. It was just the middle movie, and to me, it was just too slow to be my favorite of that trilogy. So it was more skippable. The whole sequence with Anakin and the when they're in Geonosis and they're trapped and they're getting trapped in the assembly line where they're creating the droids and stuff. I didn't like that scene. I didn't like the battle pit fight. I didn't like that. But I liked most everything else about it. I liked the intrigue. I liked the, you know, finding out about the clones. I liked all that stuff. Fine. I can't point to anything in Last Jedi that I liked. In Rise of Skywalker, I liked the pace. I liked that it was fast. I liked the dynamic between Rey and Kylo, because a lot of people have a problem with it, but I think, like, if you're, you know, they're placing their views on two well-adjusted children onto two of the most poorly adjusted children in the universe. One is was basically abandoned as a child to be a slave on a desert planet, where she had to fight and fend off other people, survive for herself, and she comes from a lineage of the absolute worst people in the galaxy, right? Then there's Kylo Ren, who is just a petulant little child who probably was well off when he was younger, whereas, I mean, his mom was, you know, active in the Senate, and her dad and her mom are both, his dad and his mom are both famous. His grandfather happens to be one of the most evil men in the galaxy at that point, according to other people. You know, he's seduced by, he's got all this power and doesn't know how to use it. He's seduced by basically the darkest side of the Force that has ever been in Palpatine through Snoke. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what people expect, that they would be well adjusted and seeking out healthy relationships. I don't think so. So to me, that's believable. And so I liked that they were kind of immature children seeking out this, you know, they were basically teenagers in adult, more adult bodies, because they saw their power and their abilities, and they felt a common bond where both of them had kind of been searching for someone like them their whole lives, in a way, that someone to understand them. And here they are, two people who understand them. Now they get each other, and what would you expect? We don't see, it doesn't say Kylo and Rey are a healthy couple and last for a long time. It doesn't say that. These are the limited reactions that they have when they're in close proximity. It makes sense to me. So I don't, you know, all those people who are upset, I think they're more upset that, like, they feel like, in fact, I saw a talking head on one of the more prominent Jedi themed podcasts or vlogs or YouTube videos. And it was a woman who was very upset that Rey gave up her agency by falling in love with Kylo Ren. As if that was the worst thing that ever happened, was that she could fall in love and that a woman would feel like she needed to love a man. And look, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. If that's the way you think about everything in the universe, then you're never going to be happy, because men and women are equals, but they come together and they fall in love, and occasionally they do love each other and get married and have children. I mean, I'm sorry, it's not a woman's world, it's not a man's world, it's our world together. And if you have a problem with Rey doing that, then you are looking for something else that Star Wars never was for you. Star Wars was never about the powerful woman doing everything on her own, just as it was never about the powerful man doing everything on his own. Luke would be nowhere without Leia's help, and Leia would have gotten nowhere. She did, as a matter of fact, get nowhere without help from the outside, and it just so happened to be from some men. And you have to acknowledge that. And so I didn't have a problem with that in Rise of Skywalker. I didn't have a problem with the new characters introduced or the old ones reintroduced. I didn't have a problem with any of that. I just think they could have done a better job. And I think they should have taken a couple years off. I know you can't do that. But I think they should have waited and figured out a way to get some input of the original trilogy fans, like saying, how can we fix this truly? I think the story group probably
is a little high on themselves. I mean, to a certain degree, you are pretty much supposed to be the highest in your field, so they don't probably have much pushback from internally, I'm speaking of. I know they have a lot of people complaining about the directions that the story group took, but they're really making terrible decisions, and it may come from above them, but if it's just them telling their political aspirations and trying to live that out on the page, then they're doing an awful job. But really, it's some awful storytelling. You have to grow gradually. And I know it's not that easy when you have a corporation like Disney saying, we want more, we want more. And, you know, sometimes there's some things that stick and there's some things that don't. But I think they had enough existing. Their issue was is that they had the building blocks. Rather than use all the building blocks they had in their case first and build out from, like, okay, we're going to, you know, it was like they had no city planner, like a city that an old city that was clearly designed not with with a lot of people in mind. And then instead of hiring a city planner to come in and give them direction, say, look, this, all right, so this is my idea for the future city. It's almost like they gave too many people, like, all right, you deal with the Northwest, you deal with the Southwest, and what you're left with is a jumble of a mess of suburbs, and the city doesn't really feel cohesive, and some people really like this one area town because maybe it's really well built. Maybe the traffic is really great up there. Maybe the lawns and the homes are great. And then there's this other part of town that's real cheap. Traffic's real bad. And there's a lot of people that live, a lot of people living there doesn't mean that it was the better city, better planned portion of the city, right? It might just be that it's cheaper because it is cheaper. It's cheaper made, so it's cheaper to live there, and so more people end up living there. It doesn't make it good. It doesn't make it the better part of the city. The better part of the city is still the one that's more well thought out. The roads are planned better. The commercial zones, the residential zones are planned out better. And for Star Wars, they did not have a plan. And I'm not just talking about the movies. They didn't have a clear plan for, here's the direction. This is where we want to get the Force and the Skywalkers. This is where we want to get to. And then from that you go, okay, how can we seed the future through using the Skywalker? Like, all those little tidbits about the new planets and new things that they introduced in Rise of Skywalker, those should be nods to the future that actually in the High Republic will be nods to the past. So that somebody watching Star Wars, you know, I always thought it was weird that in the sequel trilogy that we didn't go to Dantooine. Why not? Or in the prequel trilogy, why didn't we go to Dantooine? It's a throwaway line by Leia, right? It's not Tatooine, it's Dantooine that she says that the Rebel base was on. Why didn't we go there? You know, some people say, oh, you're treating the universe like it's too small. I didn't say you had to base the whole movie around Dantooine. I just mean, why don't you use the future or the past to seed what you're doing next? Pixar does it very slightly in their movies, like by including something from a future movie. I'm not even saying you have to go that far where it's got to be a secret. I just don't know why you can't use the future. The galaxy is real big, but you look on a map and you can see most of the worlds. The way they have set up Coruscant, as being the head of the government in the Republic, in at the end of the Republic era. there's all sorts of creatures and things in there. We don't, you know, you could have done more with that, branching out with the Clone Wars and Rebels, giving us moments and things that we could tie back to things we have seen previously. And I don't feel like, I mean, it remains to be seen. Maybe they could go to Exegol in the High Republic. I don't think they will, but maybe they could go to Exegol. Maybe they could go to the ice planet that they went to. Maybe we could go to Hosnian Prime. Maybe in the future we will see more, you know, and Disney will start making decisions like that. But if all they keep doing is going out and reaching out to the suburbs, they're going to have a dead inner city, and that's where that's an established, you know, the inner city of Star Wars, the original trilogy, even the prequels, were established winners, right? It's a winner. You know, people like it. And you should have built off of that. And instead, Rise of Skywalker, ultimately for me, feels like it's not a failure, but it's, there is a failure in the Rise of Skywalker. It's that I think it fails to excite and entice people for what's to come, because I think all you're left with is, this is how they're going to end my future stories. And you may feel differently, and that's your right. You know, and I'm losing my voice over it here, talking to you today. But I'm just left to be disappointed with where the Star Wars saga left off. And as great as The Mandalorian has been, you know, I mean, hey, we started a podcast over it. As great as it has been, there's too much coming out. There's too many books, too many comics that are coming out. I mean, I just heard today that Leia gets encased in carbonite at some point during her life. And it seems to me a poor attempt at imitation instead of good storytelling. And if you don't have good storytelling, there's no reason for me to watch. And that's why I probably won't be watching Rise of Skywalker. And I definitely will never see Last Jedi again, because it's not good storytelling. And it definitely places in my mind the importance of good storytelling in anything that I do in the future. And I know I've got some projects that I'm working on and I've stalled out on and tried to go back to, but it definitely places an importance in my mind on, listen, it's not worth telling. If you're not going to tell a good story, it's not worth telling. So that's my thoughts on The Rise of Skywalker and basically the whole series of films in general. It was an okay movie. It's not great. It's not bad. I wouldn't even rank it for you, cause I wouldn't know where to put it. It would be at best, I guess, eighth or seventh or eighth, in my films, which sounds bad. But I really liked all the other movies. I think, 6, 4, 5, and most people put Empire Strikes Back first, but it's not for me. 6, 4, 5. 3, 1, 2, 7, I guess, 9, and that's it. The 8 doesn't exist to me. I know it does. It just doesn't exist to me. So that'll do it for today. I'm sorry if I upset you. I know a lot of people have strong opinions themselves about the movies. That's just my take. My name is Steve Lascalzo, and this is the Way podcast. feel free to write me and tell me I'm wrong. I doesn't mean I'll listen to you. if you tell me I'm wrong, that is. thisistheway@gmail.com. You can interact with me on Twitter at thisistheway_pod. Instagram and Twitch, we have also This Is The Way Pod. And we'll be back to The Mandalorian Chapter 8. Will probably be our next episode. And then after that, we're going to probably do a wrap-up and then maybe move on to something new until the Season 2 comes out in the fall of 2020. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk. I'm losing my voice over it, and it's not because I'm yelling. It's just because I'm talking for about 50 minutes straight. So please remember that we're just doing this for fun. This isn't a job. We don't make any money off of it. So I'm not getting paid by somebody to feel this way. No one's influencing me. Not even our co-hosts, Tim and Andy. I didn't consult them before putting this out. They're encased in carbonite still. So, this is just the thoughts of one of the hosts. And I hope you can forgive me if you don't agree. But if you agree with me, I hope you'll let me know, because I know I'm not alone. It's just I may be one of a few. I really like to think that that my thoughts are what a lot of the people who share my thoughts feel. I think I'm right on my reasoning. It doesn't mean my opinion's right. I just think my reasoning is pretty sound. So, until next time, may the force be with you always.